Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture reading tonight is coming from the book of John 3:16-17. A very familiar scripture, and let's just refresh our memory tonight as we are learning about different ways from Jesus himself. The examples that he set for us, we're definitely learning from them tonight. So God gave his very best. And as we are looking around and shopping to give our very best to the ones that we love and care about, we want to just look at some of the things that the Bible tells us about the very best. Amen? So again, John 3:16-17, and it reads, "For God so loved the world that he, before anybody else had did anything, he been the head, been the example, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. John 3:16-17. Let's bow our heads in prayer. So we invite the Holy Spirit to come and just place in our hearts, pour in our hearts, just shower in our hearts all of the things that he would have for us to know tonight. And we all three, we invite you to just send in a prayer request to the Blog Talk Radio Ministry, or you can send it in to walkwithmegod@aol.com. Either way, just send in your prayer request. We can pray for your request as we're doing our prayers. Then we can shout out your loved one's name if necessary. So right now, we'll just bow our heads, and that's just humbling ourselves before our Lord and Savior God, okay? Let's take all of our issues to the altar and then open our hearts and invite him to come and teach us his word. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we just meet once again. It's so excited just to be here with you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence living inside of us, dear Father. And it's just such a peaceful thing just to know that we're in the presence of the Lord. Dear Father, we bring all of our thanksgiving to you, dear Father, for all of the things that you have done, all of the things that you're going to do in our lives, dear Father, and all of the things that you're doing right now. Such as those things is just healing us, dear Father, from our diseases. So, dear Father, just being the judge in the courtroom, for being doctors, dear Father, in the surgery room right now, dear Father, for just answering the prayers for the ones who are confused, dear Father. Dear Father, the ones that are hiding in closets and shelters and because they can't bear to just own up to the things that they've done. They're embarrassed or they're ashamed. I just feel, dear Father, someone right now is just missing out on so many opportunities that you're giving them because they can't forgive themselves. But we know that through your blood we are forgiven. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of them, dear Father. I want to say thank you on behalf of anyone out there for all that you're doing. And they may not take our time to say thank you. This may be the only thank you hear on their behalf today, but I intercede for them tonight. And I say thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done in their lives. Now, we just want to, we're excited to just open up our hearts. And we're excited to have you just pour inside our spirits. Replenish us, dear Father, from all the things that we went through today. Fill up our cups that they run over with your word, with your anointing, with your power, with your love, with your peace and your understanding. And we thank you for being that example that we are to live by each day. Dear Father, I ask you to bless all families that are in bereavement, dear Father, the young actor, Paul Walker, and his family, his daughter, and just bless us upon their hearts and give them comfort. And I pray that, dear Father, that he has the opportunity to not just hear your word, but to live out your word. And then, dear Father, we come in prayer for the whole Trinity Broadcast Network as the leader of the TBN, Brother Paul Crouch, has entered into his heavenly home. He has now been ushered into eternity. And so to all of the things that he's done here, dear Father, I thank you for receiving them with your arms wide open And I pray that, dear Father, you were able to say well done to his work that has been done here on this earth. We ask the blessings over his wife, Jan, and his sons, Paul Jr., and Matt and Lori and their families. And just, God, just continue to hold them together and all his friends and loved ones around the universe, that he's just touched so many lives in the work that he's. I thank you, Jesus, for such a soldier as Paul Crouch Sr. And all the other ones, loved ones, ministers, leaders, and teachers, dear Father, that has gone on, dear Father, into victory, into their eternity. God, until we can see them again, I ask you to keep your arms around the family, and I know that you will. Let them be able to know, dear Father, whatever it takes, be patient with them, dear Father, for the ones who are doubting and not understanding these times, dear Father. We just thank you for your patience and your love in all these situations. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, we answer and say yes to your will. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So we're just touching bases back on
God gave his very best.
And, you know, we're just talking back about Christmas it is, and it's like for many of you, Christmas is one of the favorite times, my favorite times of the year. Every present that we all give or the presents that we receive, they all represent God's great love for the world. And as the scripture said, we give because how far the days. Have you ever saw a child, the father or the mother can walk and maybe they cross their arms or they be sitting on the couch and they do something and the child imitates. They want to be just like the parent. So they do exactly what they see the parent do. And that is exactly what we are doing when we give, when we receive. We are giving because, as an example, our Father gave first. And he gave his very best. He gave his very best. And some of the times we get hooked up on the things that he asked us to give. And we should always remind ourselves of John 3:16-17, that he's not asking you to give anything that he hasn't given to you. Everything that we have is because he has given to us to share with others. And it says that he gave his very best because he loved the world. Because he loved the world so much, he refused to be without us. Even though we sinned and messed up, he said, I just cannot be without them. I love them so much. You know, you should put your name in there and just tell yourself that sometimes. That he loved me so much that he just refused to be without me. He said, I'm just not going to be without him. So I'm going to send my only begotten son. I'm going to see my son. He knew that his son was going to be lied on, talked about. He noticed his son was going to be sinless, but was going to have to put on our sin coat in order to save us. And he did it anyway. Now that's love. And all he asked for us, all he asked to receive the gift that was been given, which is eternity with him. Eternity with him. He said all that he is asking is that you believe in him. Did you believe that he's given you this gift, that he is your creator? He said, so whoever so, it doesn't matter where you came from, where you're going, or where you're at. It doesn't matter what you've acquired, what you're going to acquire, what you have acquired right now. It does not matter. You may have acquired it and lost it, or you may be anticipating acquiring it. Whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. That means from the highest person that we can find here on this earth, I don't care what their title may be, king, queen, it may be a dictionary, it may be the president, it may be an actor, a celebrity, or some other status. It doesn't matter. You may be the one that you feel like everyone has forgotten about and no one, everyone abuses you. No one even knows your name. You may feel like a doormat. But all you have to do is believe also. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. His word is true. His word is true. He said that you shall not perish. That means that this world is going to perish away. everyone here on this world, this is just a temporary thing. We're not here to stay, right? We're just interviewing to get into heaven. We're just living our lives now as for us getting ready, learning. We're in school. We're learning, but we're all going to graduate one day. It's sad. It's going to perish. And he wants us not to perish. He wants no one to perish. So he didn't give his son and say it's only for Vaughn, or it's only for teachers or leaders, or it's only for Becky or John or Pastor Jake. It's only for certain ones. And thank God that he just didn't leave it like that. He made sure that when he spoke his words into the spirit of the writers of this Bible, he said, this is the way that I have it to be wrote. This is my word. That whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he goes on again to tell us, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. We spoke a little bit about that on the last broadcast so many times. The world wants to make it feel like that you're being condemned if you serve God. You're not going to have any fun if you serve God. What do you mean you can't have sex before marriage just because you serve God? But God is supposed to be a forgiving God. He'll forgive me if I have sex. That means you know that you're doing something wrong. You say, well, God is a loving God. He won't just hold me out of heaven just because I'm doing this or because I'm doing this, because I'm whatever your situation may be. That means that you know deep in your heart. It's something in that is pushing up against you every time that you're trying to do this wrongness. It's telling you that's not the pathway of righteousness. You could be lost. You could be captured. Get caught up in that so deep that you can't get your way out. But all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. He's not here to condemn the world. You are the people in this world. So when he say the world, he's speaking of you. He's not here to condemn you. But it says, but in verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved. He has something for you. When you save something, even at Christmas time when we give gifts, but that very special one, that one that you know is going to mean the most, you hold on to that one. You kind of move it to the light. You save that. So that's all he wants to do. He's trying to give you his directions to save you. He's saving you for the big outflow, the big blowout, the biggest one of all. That's eternity. That never ends, eternity. And I know it's hard for our minds to wrap around eternity. We've never lived, experienced anything like that. Everything we ever have saw in our life, it either fades away or will fade away or have. And that's from the trees to the flowers or whatever it may be. Even the leaves on the trees fall off and replenish and fall off and replenish. And everyone that we saw or have seen or will see, they will fade away from here on this side. So sometimes when we think about eternity, we just think that's just so far-fetched. How can I even get my mind around it? So that's why it's so important for you now to try to grab and get your mind around it. Ask God to reveal it to you. Show you just a little bit of what it is that he wants you to see. And then the biggest thing is we have to learn to trust God. Trust his word for what it is. Trust his word for what it is. If you trust God, that he'll bless your food as you're eating it. And that is, keep all impurities away from harm in your body. You've got to trust God for his eternity. You've got to be able to trust God for one thing and trust him for all things. It's not just a saying. It's the thing that we have to live by. So no matter what people say, at no other time of the year, Christ is being glorified. We glorify Christ because we believe in his word. We believe in his words. And Jesus recognized the value of himself vitally. You see, we spoke last evening about him just falling in love. He pursued love. He pursued happiness. He had to pursue increase. He wanted to increase his relationship with his Father. And he wanted it so bad that he got caught up in the temples listening to the preachers as they read the scriptures and explained the scriptures. he got so caught up for 3 days, he forgot to even tell his mom and dad where he was at. We also spoke about, you know, it's been many times that, you know, we get out and we get to having fun, we're doing something, we may be, as a kid, on the college field playgrounds, you know, as an adult, we may be, I don't know, at a basketball game or some other sports game, and you get caught up, or the playoffs, and, you know, you get so caught up, but you're still at home. You get so caught up, but you still let somebody know. You notify of where you're at. Even gamblers at the tracks eventually let somebody know something. But he was so excited about increasing his power through his father that he got so caught up. He forgot to. You know, I'm sure before they got there, you know, they had the rules and everything set out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be leaving on this day. Here it is. Everyone stick together. You know, parenthood is parenthood. There's certain similarities that just doesn't fade away, right? So caught up, he forgot to even get back with the family and go on a caravan to return back home, because in his mind, this was home. This was the safest place to be. This was the most interesting place to be. So not only did he listen to them read the Word of God, but he also listened to them explain it, break it down, because this was something he wanted to be a part of him now. Not just something that's going in one ear and coming out of the other one. He wanted to be a part of him. And an interesting thing to note is that if you look at the scriptures, you'll see that Jesus excelled in his natural side as well as his spiritual side. So we can see that he excelled in bodily stature. Among the Jews of his days, no one was qualified to be a priest who had any bodily defect. Fine to be a priest if you had bodily defect. But God told to him that Jesus, as our high priest, he had no bodily disqualifications for his office. God saw to it. He had everything he needed bodily to fulfill his destiny. Jesus was destined to lead an energetic life of labor and physical endurance. I believe he was a very young, strong individual. There's no verse that leads us to believe otherwise, and I believe that Jesus took care of himself. He put spiritual things first, but he in no way forsook the physical body that God gave him. He fed it. He rested it when it was time to rest. He worked it when it was time to work. And he respected it. Do you remember when the alabaster box of perfume oil was poured on his feet? Notice that he did not dismiss his earthly body as unserving of the gift. No. He recognized the value of his own body as the creation of God that would be given for the world. And he allowed the woman to anoint him with a gift so costly that it was worth an entire year's wages. Now notice that nobody complained about that great gift being poured out on Jesus' feet except the thief, Judas, and then Jesus shut him down about it. Why? Because Christ knew that he was worth that gift. He knew that he was worth the price. See, if Jesus didn't care about his own body, how could he expect you to care about yours, his sacrifice? See, if God didn't care, the cross wouldn't have meant a thing. But no, Jesus cared about the cross. Jesus cared about you. He's just that example. And he cared because he was in line with his Father. And that's where we're at right now. See, and the Father cared so much that he literally made his Son's body currency enough to pay for the sins of the world. We're using that as an example. We're trying to walk the walk. We're trying to do the things that Jesus would have us do. See, we don't have to go carry our own cross. But we literally, that's just the things that we go through in life. we literally can be forgiven of our sin. We literally do not have to go through all of the things that he's done for us, he's covered for us. But however, so many times we spend so much time not forgiving ourselves for our sins, not getting over our sins, not wanting to do any better because we think we've just got too far deep into it. And we say, how could he ever forgive me? How could I ever make a difference? How could I ever do the will that he wants me to do after what I have done? Now, you are Jesus Christ. But if you think God doesn't care about your body, you're living in a dream world. If you think God doesn't care about your future, you're living in a dream world. Do you think God doesn't care about forgiving you of your sins? You've been fooled. One of Jesus' main acts during his ministry was healing. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have done it once, not over and over again, not even once would he have done it. He just said, strike your healing for my deliverance. Those stripes on his back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just one more time, just another second or two. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. We should just stop and just every now and then throughout the day, just stop and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Ooh, let me just move on. Because we're speaking of ourselves in a human form, and we understand that the human form you have today was made in the image and was made in the likeness of God. And you are valuable to the one who made you. As a believer, you can look to Jesus as your example. And then we must say, Christ, because you value your body, I will value mine. And that's a lot, and that's a lot of us. And I'm preaching to the choir. That we have to get to the point that that's where we're at. And a lot of things we've done in our past may be affecting our future or our present right now. But we still have an opportunity to stop and say, from this day forward, I will value mine because you valued yours and you are my example. I will appreciate it, care for it, and I will give myself as a living sacrifice to you. I will believe. I want to be fully persuaded. And I want to commit my health to you, knowing that you will always be faithful to me. See, that's exceeding and excelling bodily. So it's not just the natural side and the spiritual side, but it's also the bodily stature. Jesus excelled in oneness. He wanted a oneness between him and his Father. He wanted a oneness. Jesus was committed to excelling. And as I said, the word represents him. To us, it's not only receiving wisdom for his Father in heaven, but also receiving wisdom from people on earth. Amen? But I want you to notice that Jesus didn't adopt every opinion he heard. By no means. Every opinion he heard, by no means did he adopt it. The heart and the purity of God to every situation. And that's what we need him to be. Every situation, every teaching, keep out the heart of God with them. Amen? The heart of God in every situation. Can you say that? I'm going to bring the heart of God and the purity of God. I'm not going to ride around with a fish symbol on the back of my car, and I'm throwing birdies to everybody. That's not the purity of God. That's not the heart of God. I'm not going to walk around with the biggest Bible I can or handing out cards, you know, to this church meeting and that church meeting. But the first time that something goes wrong, I'm the first one that I won't speak to you anymore. That I turn my back. When it's time to preach out and hug, I go the opposite way because I'm not going to hug you. I don't even want to touch you. That's not bringing the purity of God to that situation. That is not bringing the heart of God into that situation. So there again, there's another la-la land that we're living in. And we make so many la-la lands for so many different reasons. And sometimes we just sat there by ourselves and say, well, I'm just going to be here by myself in this land because I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm not going to do this and that. See, sometimes as believers, we dismiss everything we hear that we don't agree with. But Jesus listened to the thoughts and the opinions and the teachings of others, many of whom he disagreed with. Why did you say he did that? So that he could engage them, that he could learn from them, he could enlighten them with the truth that he got from his Father. I encourage you to just stop and listen to somebody. Listen to their thoughts, listen to their opinions, and listen to the teachings of others, even if you disagree, so that you can engage with that person, so you can learn for where they is. Maybe you can see where the mistake is. And then you can enlighten them with the truth that you get from the Word of God, your Father. Jesus came to understand the way people thought by listening to them. He helped people to change for the better by listening to his Father God. God's word is the last word. Amen? God's word is the last word. And in the development of Christ's wisdom, we never read about him being impatient. That Jesus didn't hurry. Jesus wasn't frantic. He moved with purpose in his life. He didn't waste time. He lived. I believe he valued the time God had given him and took every day as an opportunity to even get closer to his Father, to learn more and to share what he knew. So willing and eager to share what he knew. Also notice that Jesus didn't seek out fame. It's hard to live in a flesh suit. And you get a little notoriety. It's hard to stay away out of the fame thing. But as you notice, Jesus didn't seek out fame. He didn't attempt to become or produce a sensation with his words. Instead, he often retreated to pray and did not try to make a spectacle. Yet he became famous amongst the people anyway, just because his words and acts were revolutionary. They were controversial, and they made people talk. That's what I'm trying to say. His word made people feel something different. It revolutionized their lives. However, you never read about Jesus trying to impress his brethren or his neighbors with his extraordinary wisdom or his power from God. Think about that. That ought to make you shout. The heart of Jesus was pure. He was confident in God, so that made him confident in himself. But he refused to do things out of pride for spirit. God was to stay one with the Father and to fulfill his destiny one day at a time. One day at a time. Oh, yes, Satan tried to get him to prove himself, and he refused. People tried to get him to do the same thing, and he refused. On the cross, they railed at him, and they tried to get him to perform. If you're Jesus, you know, if you're this and that, do this, do that. But Jesus just wouldn't do it. He refused to tempt his Father He refused. In my closing tonight, I came to remind you that Jesus loved people too much to lure himself into that way. Instead, he gave them what they needed, which is his pure and unadulterated oneness with the Father. He gave us the truth that we needed to become the same way in a oneness with the Father. 14 and 6 says it like this. Very simply, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. He also gave them assurance that with him they would always have guidance and light, and no one will be able to steal them away from God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Whose voice are you following? It goes on to tell us that, and I give unto them eternal life. That's what we started. We're talking about eternal life. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than me. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The oneness with God. I and my Father are one. John 10:27-30. Hallelujah. I'm going to close three, so let's do it one more time. It's John 10:27-30. Read along with me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. These struggles, these pains, sometimes highs and sometimes lows. We don't have to worry about that in eternal life, y'all. See, we only have to live this life one time. So why would you want to mess it up? Why would you want to just chance it on your own? It's all going to end one day. And as we look in the internet and we look in the papers, we see every day. People don't know when it's going to end and how it's going to end, but it ends. It could be a big shock to our lives, and we just can't believe the person is gone, but it ends. But he said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they should never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that oneness that we're trying to live an example about to be, says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. I just feel so thankful right now. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. I thank you, God, for just being who you are. I thank you for your Son that you've given to me. I thank you, Father, that everything that I need is in you. I thank you for the example, and I thank you for teaching me how to live like you. Thank you, Jesus, for another broadcast. Thank you, Father. Amen. Christian livings, my sisters and brothers, whatever you think, both in joy and in woe, think nothing you would not want Jesus to know. Whatever you say in a whisper or clear, say nothing you would not want Jesus to hear. Whatever you sing in the midst of your glee, sing nothing God's listening ear would displease. Whatever you write with haste or with heed, write nothing you would not want Jesus to read. Whatever you read through the page may allure, read nothing unless you are perfectly sure. Consternation will not be seen in your eyes, in your look. If Christ should say solemnly, show me that book. wherever you go, never go where you would fear. That question then asked you, thou here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, glorify God in your spirit, because both, all of you belongs to God. All of you belongs to God. And you said, I'm not for sure that I even know the God that you speak of, but I want to be a part of that. I don't want, what if I'm wrong to live this life on my own, in my own way? What if it is the truth that I just didn't hatch from an egg or I wasn't from a caveman? I want God to come and be with me. Show me your ways, God. It's very simple. All you have to do is what we were speaking about in the broadcast, believe. All you have to do is believe. Open your heart and believe. Confess your sin and accept him into your heart. Invite him to come and live inside of you. Invite him to be the director. Invite him to be the one that leads you on his pathway of righteousness. And then you too shall be born again. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it said that you too will be born again of a new creature in Christ. Let's repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and receive me into the family of God. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ, and all things have passed away. Old things have passed away, and all things are now new with you. All of heaven is celebrating with you. You have a brand new life with Jesus and a future of faith, a future of hope to look forward to starting right now. I'm not saying that all of your trials and tribulations are going to be cut out. That's just a part of living. But you don't have to go through it alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there right with you. And if you pray this prayer, it's very important that you reach out and let someone know. You need someone praying with you. You need someone helping you through the bumps and the humps and the dips in the road that you've been going through all your life, that you're going to go through. You need someone to pray you over those humps and bumps, to remind you of God's word, to show you God's word. Because he's there just laying down the covering of his anointing so you can go through that hole. You can go through those pit holes. And you can come out with not even a stench. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, this is your host, Minister Von Dimmer. And I'm broadcasting here in San Antonio, Texas. I love you. I truly do. But remember the most important thing. God loves you more. You are not by yourself. You just didn't open up your heart just to you. The whole heavenly earth, all shouting out in joy, in glee over your decision that you just made. So until the next broadcast, ask yourself, am I trusting God? Am I leading by his example? And we'll see you on tomorrow's broadcast to finish it up, okay? All right, bye-bye.